Gemara Daf Gimel Beis quotes a brisa that tells us that a Beis Shenolda is Asura. That's something which is clear. Four different possibilities. We learned in the Gemara why indeed that should be true. The brisa continues and tells us Sveika Asura. Even if it's a case of a Safek, that the Gemara points out is not as obvious. If you assume that a Beis Shenolda is forbidden because of Hachana Daraba, that is a Din Daraisa, and Sveika Daraisa is Lechumra. If you assume it's a Gzeirah Drabanan, Peros Anoshrim, Mashkin Shizavu, that's only a Din Drabanan, and therefore, why is it that a Suffolk should be forbidden? Fascinating, the Gemara does not mention anything about Rav Nachman Shita. Rav Nachman says that a Beit Hashanod is Asura because of Muktzah. One possibility is very simple. The Gemara already pointed out that Rav Nachman Shita was problematic, because after all, if indeed it's a Muktzah issue, why is it that the Mishnah only discusses the Beitza? The Mishnah should say that he ubeitzasa atzura. So the Gemara earlier already pointed out the difficulty with Rav Nachman, which might be why the Gemara no longer addresses Rav Nachman Shita. But if you look in Tosas Yishanim, here Gimel Mabez, Toshan writes the following Chiddush that no, according to Rabba, Hachana Darab is a din daraisa, sveika asura. And what about according to Rav Nachman? No, not daraisa, but that type of muktzah, at least muktzah la'achila, is ke'en daraisa. Ke'en daraisa. Tosis Yishanim, Gimel Beis. And that also would be a sveika daraisa l'chumra. That's a very important comment of the Tosis Yishanim. The reason the Gemara does not mention Rav Nachman is because the same time as according to Rabba, sveika daraisa l'chumra would apply even according to Rav Nachman as well. And what forms of muktzah really are ke'en daraisa? As we discussed previously, maybe differences between tiltul, achila, and hishtamshus. But at least here, the achilas muktza, that certainly understand is considered to be kein daraisa. Even if hechinu as a shevi was not a drasha gemura midaraisa like Rav Nachman, but it is an asmachta, as opposed to peros anoshrim, mashkin shezavo, which is only a gzeira drabanan. So the Gemara indeed is bothered. Why is it that we assume sveika asura? And then the Braisa continues and tells me, v'imnis arva kulam asuros. And all of a sudden now, if that problematic egg becomes intermingled, even that is considered to be forbidden as well. Why should it be usur, bitaruvos? Regarding that question, the Gemara says the following, wait a second, that realize that a beitza shenolda is a davar sheish lamatirin, and a davar sheish lamatirin afilu be'elef lobatel, and therefore, we understand why imnis arva kulan asuros. What is not clear from the Braisa is, when the Braisa tells me imnis arva, what is it modifying? The Braisa began with a beis shenolda vadai, next line, sveika asura, next line, imnis arva. Is imnis arva referring to vadai, or is it referring to safek? If you assume it's referring even to a case of a suffix, the Gemara is telling you a stunning chiddush, and that means even though there are multiple sveikos, I don't even know the identity of this Beis HaShenolda. Is it mukta or is it not? And furthermore, imnis arve, and I don't even know if this is the Beis in question. Even then we assume indeed that is going to be aser. Oh, that's the chiddush of the Mordechai b'shem Rabbeinu Simcha, that you know what, that a davar sheish the matirin, even a sveik sveika, indeed is considered to be asur. And Tosus quotes immediately Rabbi Notam, that tells us not necessarily, imni sarva is going back to the beginning of the braisa, a beitza shenolda b'taras vadai, not the case of sveika asur. So each stage now of the Gemara. Why would we assume that imni sarva kula asuros? Because after all, this is considered to be a davar sheish materium, not subject to bitul. Not really the theme of today's Shir Klali, but a very fundamental machlokes, why indeed it is that a davar sheish lamatirin is not subject to bittel. Rashi here writes a very, very simple svar, that ad shetochleno be'isser, tochleno be'heter. Why rely on a kula today? Just be patient. Wait until tonight. The whole isser will dissipate. The isser indeed is going to resolve. You have to use this Beit HaShenolda for Shalashuddis. Use it from Alav HaMalka. Problem free. And therefore, Ad Shetochleno Be'isser, Tochleno Be'heter. That's Svar of Rashi, that why rely on Bittul indeed if it's not necessary. You know what? That certainly indicates a din derabanan. And Rashi writes this explicitly. Bava Metzia daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, where Rashi writes that Dover Sheish Lamatirin Midaraisa. Of course, is batel. But Rashi writes it's explicit in Gemara that that is only a din derabanan, that there is no bittel. That's how Rashi learns the sugya of Metzia daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. It's kimat mefurish in Gemara. But when you learn that sugya, again, not for today, but take a look. Take a look at the Pirush HaRavid. Take a look at the Tosas HaRash. Bav Metzia daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. They read the Gemara differently, where there is no Gemara in Shas that says Davar Sheish Lamatirin is only a Chumra Drabanan. And indeed, if you look in Kesef Mishnah is tucked away, Hilchos Mi'ila, Perek Zayin HaLachavav. Kesef Mishnah writes that a Davar Sheish Lamatirin is a Dindaraisa. What about that Gemara? Ooh, like the Ravid, like the Tosas HaRash. But Rashi says very, very simply, the Svarid Rabbanan, why rely on any kul if it's not necessary? Ad she'tochlenu b'isser tochlenu b'heter. And what's known as magnificent Chiddush of the Ran, Nidar Mendaf Nunbeis, where the Ran understands Davar Sheish Lamatirin very, very differently. The Yisod of the Ran, but I urge you to take a look inside every line of that Ran. The Ran writes something which is so fundamental, and that is, bittul requires oppositional forces. And therefore, when you have a clash, you have a collision, election day. Now, so A overrides B. No, they can't both coexist. Let's say there is no collision at all. Why would you invoke a principle of bittul? If A and B are mashlimim zezeh, why do you have to assume that A overrides. Why is any override necessary? And therefore, the Ran writes the following, that in principle, bi'ikaron, the yesod of bittul is two oppositional forces, min v'sheino mino. And therefore, in principle, min v'mino. Why should there be bittul? They're the best of friends. And therefore, why does one have to overpower the other? But the Ran writes, but what I'm telling you is not right. The sheet of Rabbi Yehuda is min b'mino was not batel. The Chachami maintained that min b'mino is absolutely batel. So what happened to my beautiful svara that you need oppositional forces to invoke bittel? The Ran writes, of course you have oppositional forces. Imagine you have two chatichas, and one is besar shchuta, and one is besar nevela. You know what? You'll ask the scientist to assess those two pieces of meat. You know what the scientist is going to tell you? In his world, but that's not reality. No, in his world, they're identical. There's no way I can tell those two pieces apart. It's min b'mino. You know what we're going to tell the scientists? They're identical. One is mutar b'achila. One is an issa d'araisa. Ein lecha min v'shemino gadol mizeh. Well, what could be more different than heter and issa? The fact that something is usser is usser. By essence, by definition, that means it's min v'sheino mino. The fact that looking at its physical composition, that you cannot distinguish in one another, that's not the real world. No, the real world is the halachic world. The halachic world. Heter versus iser. Heter versus iser. No? Rav Soloveitchik used to refer to this Ran, he used to call it the Telzer Ran. Because many of the Telzer Chakiras is Metzias and Alpidin. No, the Ran writes that Alpidin, these Chatikos are worlds apart. So everybody agrees, min b'mino is something that is not subject to bittul, but heter and iser is min b'sheino mino. Ooh, the Ran, the med ramamurim. When you have a potent iser, but if you have an iser which is here today and gone tomorrow, that temporary iser is insufficient to convert the chaticha into min b'sheino mino. If you have a permanent iser, of course that's true. But if you have something which is here today, gone tomorrow, a davar sheish lamatirin. You know what? This beitz hashanot is mutzah for another hour. Shalashudis. Kamosay Shabbos, Malacha Malka, it's heter gamor. That iser, which is relevant for the next hour, it is so sufficiently potent that it labels the cheftzes min v'sheino mino. No, that is min b'mino, and min b'mino is not batel. That's the Ran's beautiful biur. In a word, davar sheish lamatirin is min b'mino, which is not subject to bittel. I wouldn't say it's muchach at all according to the Ran, but the possibility according to the Ran that this is a din daraisa. Because the difference between min b'mino and min b'sheino mino is not a chumrin d'rabbanon. That is a difference on the level of daraisa. And that is what you find is mentioned, that Kesem Mishnah, in Hochos Mila, in Zayin Vav. So it's a pretty fascinating machlokes, the Ran and the view of Rashi. Right? Hopefully with your Rebbeim, you'll go through a lengthy list of nafkaminas between Rashi and the Ran understanding. I'll tell you one. Charifus, the Prima Gadin, in Shara Taruvos and Perek Beis. Let's make the case worse. We have a case in our Gemara of a Beis Shenolda, Shenis Arva. Okay, that's problematic. There's one problem, a Muktzah problem. Let me make this worse. No? You know what? That hen that laid the egg was a Treifa. Worse, Mamas, a Beis Treifa is forbidden min HaTorah. What would you say about that? You know the Prima Gadim writes such a Chiddush. What do you mean? According to the Ran, right, more is less is more. No, the fact that it's a Beis HaShtreifa, well, of course it's min b'sheino mina. Now you have a permanent iser regarding this Beitza. Sifu is a Beitza which is Kshera. Oh, that would be a Dover Shesha Materian. If you know the Beitza had two problems. Number one, a Muktzah problem. Number two, it's a Beis HaShtreifa. Guess what? That's min b'sheino mina. And there would be bittul. If it had one problem, not bittul. A composite problem, not only muktzah, but treifa. Ooh, that's the answer. Chiddush according to the Ran. According to Rashi, no. Just be patient. Acha tochlano b'isser, tochlano b'heter. If I can resolve one isser, let me resolve the one isser. Why should I rely on a double kula if I'll just be patient and I can rely on a single kula. Is there any indication from the Gemara as to this Ran or Rashi? I'll tell you just Poshup Shat in Gemara. The Gemara says the following, that how do you understand the fact that Im Nisarva, it is Aser? Why isn't there Bittul? The Gemara answers, Dabar Sheish Lamatir. What's the Hemshech of the Gemara? Okay, but how do you understand Sveik Asur? How do you understand Sveik Asur? Why is a Sveik Asur? What is the Gemara answer? Asan the Beisas Treifa. Oh, you're right. There you have to come on to not Muktzah, but Treifa. What do you mean? If it's Treifa, it should be subject to Bittul. Oh, what is the Gemara answer? Oh, no. A Beitza is a Dabar Shebiminyan, it's a Dabar Choshev, and it's not subject to Bittul. Oh, wait a second. We just got through saying that a Beitza is a Dabar Sheish Lamatirin. And since it's a Dabar Sheish Lamatirin, so therefore there's no possibility of Bittul. I understand. Can't I argue that just like in a Dabar Sheish Lamatirin, there is no Bittul, in Dabar Sheish Lamatirin, Sveika Asura? No? The Braisa says, Sveika Asura, and there's no Bittul. The Gemara says, Dabar Sheish Lamatirin. Oh, but how do you account for Sveika Asura? Sveika Asura. In other words, the Gemara is clear, Gimel with Beis, that Dabar Sheish Lamatirin is relevant to the Bittul question, but not to the Sufik question. You keep on learning, you get to Dalet Amud Aleph, all of a sudden, like, Rav Ashi said, what do you mean? If it's a Dabar Sheish Lamatirin, so Sveik Asura. It's like unusual, the whole Hemshech of the Gemara. The Gemara mentions Dabar Sheish Lamatirin. To understand Sveik Asura, the Gemara has to come on to Beis HaShtreifa. And then you get to halfway down the Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, what's obvious? If it's a Dabar Sheish Lamatirin, Sveik Asura. In other words, the Gemara thought that when it comes to a case of a Dabar Sheish Lamatirin, there's no Bittul, but a Sufik is Mutter. And Rav Ashi says, that's not true. No Bittul and Sveik Asura. What exactly is that dependent on? I will tell you, Poshup Shat, this is very important. Rashi or the Ran. If you assume that the reason that a Dabar Sheish Lamatirin is treated differently is because, well, just be patient. That logic can apply to Bittul. It can also apply to Safek. Maybe even it can apply to a Sveik as well. And therefore, very mistaber to assume that if it's a Dabar Sheish Lamatirin, Sveik Asur, let's assume you assume like the Ran. you assume like the Ram, that the lamdus adar sheishna turn it's min b'mina, and therefore it's not subject to bittul. You understand the Gemara very well. That's only relevant to bittul. It's not going to explain anything about safek. Sveika asura because of davar sheishma tirin. Davar sheishma tirin is halacha in bittul of a taruvos. You don't have any taruvos, sir. You have a single egg where it's a safek. Is this or is this not a beis shenolda? That's great. That's why the Gemara is still troubled. Davar sheishma tirin is going to count for the bittul issue, but not the safek. You know what's so difficult, though? Okay, dalam and alef. Rav Ashi says, since it's a davar sheishma tirin, sveika asura. So you see that davar sheishma tirin is relevant to Suffolk as well. Suffolk as well. So how do you make sense out of that according to the Ram? So if you look, for example, Reb Chaim Ozer, Nachiezer, Simon Yudalit, he writes the following, and you know what? This might compromise my whole list of nafkaminas. The Ram cannot disagree with Rashi. That's what Reb Chaim Ozer writes. The Ram cannot disagree with Rashi. Cannot disagree with Rashi. What the Ram is telling you is, in addition to what Rashi writes, but not instead of. The svara of Rashi, of Ashi, Tachlana, Birsa, Tachlana, everyone has to agree to. Because Lamaskana, Davar Sheishma Tirin, accounts for the fact that Sveika Asura. What the Ran is adding is that when it comes to one dimension of Davar Sheishma Tirin, the bittul factor, that you can understand in terms of Min B'mino. Maybe one could argue that there are two elements to davar sheishma matirin. The fact that it's not batel, that could be a din daraisa. The fact that sveik asur is certainly only a chumra derabana. But it's hard to argue that the Ran would negate what Rashi writes, because the maskana, the Gemara says that a davar sheishma matirin, sveika asura. That's a very, very potent issue, no? In terms of how indeed to understand why that's true. Let's just say, according to Rashi Shit. Davar sheishma tirin is acha tochlan abisar tochlan abed. Okay, good. So the Gemara is troubled. What's bothering the Gemara? Lamaskana daftar amaraf. I understand the Gemara very well. Since it's just a question of patience, acha tochlanu. Good, so it applies to bitlan, applies to suffering. But what was the whole previous amud? The Gemara was bothered. It applies to bittul, but it doesn't apply to a case of safek. It doesn't apply. Why shouldn't it apply to safek? Once you have the svar of asha tochlanu b'isur tochlanu b'heter, just be patient, and the safek is going to resolve itself. The safek will resolve itself. So what was the Gemara troubled by? And what then is the chiddush indeed of Rav Ashi? You know, perhaps the Gemara was troubled by something a bit more technical about the principle of bittul and the principle of safek, the rabbanan lekula. When it comes to the case of bittul, okay, you know what I'm going to tell you? Reliance on bittul is a kula. That's clear. Why should you rely on the kula of bittul when the isser is going to fall by the wayside? It will resolve itself. Is that so obviously applicable to safek? Why rely on the principle of safek drabanan lekula if the issur is going to resolve itself. Why would I distinguish? Let me ask you the following. This is already an issue addressed by the Ramban and Shorash Rishon to Sefer HaMitzvos. That the fact that a safek drabanan is lekula, how do you understand it? Is that also a battle, tension, Hachra? You know what? I'm faced with the situation of safek, and I don't exactly know how to turn. Oh, you know what the answer is? Push comes to shove. A safek drabanan is lekula. But you know what? If in an hour from now, the whole safek is going to resolve itself, let it resolve itself, no? Or maybe one could suggest something quite different. When it comes to a din d'rabbanan, and we, yes, assume safek is lekula, maybe that means something else entirely. I'll tell you the following. B'makom safek, lo gozer b'rabbanan. B'makom safek, lo tzivu b'chachamim. Maybe a safek d'rabbanan lekula means when the chachamim created this mitzvah, or created this iser, they only did so b'torah zvadai, not b'torah safek. That Ramban is bothered by the following. The Rambam holds that even regarding Dinin Drabanan, there's an Issa Darais of Lo Sasur. That's from the very beginning of Hilchos Mamrim. Takanos Gzeirus Minhagim. So the Ramban says, well, that's true. Every Issa Drabanan really indeed is an Issa Daraisa. So why in the world do you say Sveika Drabanan Lakula? You know what the Ramban answers? Sveika Drabanan Lakula is not Midini Hachra. It's Kach Hisnu Mitchila. When the Chachamim set up the Isser and the Mitzvah Drabanan, they only did Sabamakam Vade. They did not do Sabamakam Safek. That was the nature of the enactment. The nature of the Mitzvah Drabanan, the nature of the Isser Drabanan. Oh, so I'll tell you the following. Maybe that's beautiful, Gimel Adayis. Even though you're dealing with the Davar Sheish L'Matirin, and the Svar of Davar Sheish L'Matirin is Acha Tochan of Isser, Tochan of Heter, which means, according to Rashi, why you're relying on a Kula. You know what I'll tell you? Bittul is a Kula. But who says Sveika D'Rabbanan L'Kula is a Kula in the classic sense? Maybe it just simply means that B'makom Safek L'Gozer B'Rabbanan. If you're faced with the situation of a Safek D'Rabbanan, and I argue in this scenario, the Chachamim never decreed, would I still say Acha Tochlan Abisser, Tochlan Abeheter? That would very well explain the Gemara then, why the Gemara thinks that even if something is a Davar Sheish L'Matirin, no, but nonetheless, it doesn't account for Sveika Asura. And now, what did Rav Ashi maintain? When Rashi tells us, no, that's not true, that Davar Sheish L'Matirin is forbidden even B'makom Safek. Does that undermine that whole argument? Does that mean that Safek L'Kula is really Midine Hachra, push comes to shove? And you should try to avoid a Sveika D'Rabanan L'Kula. Or does it mean not necessarily at all? Maybe it means Makom Safek indeed. L'Gozer B'Rabanan. And here Tosus introduces now the following issue. Even if you assume that Safek L'Kula is literally a Kula, and why should one unnecessarily rely on the Kula? And if it's a Davar Sheish L'Matirin, Asher Tochan Abisra Tochan Abeheter, what would you say about a Sveik? About a Sveik? You have a case where I walk in and I see that there's an egg which is sitting there, but I don't know. Was this egg laid today on Yontif? That's a Prab Eitz or Shinoda. Maybe it was there yesterday, and it's not at all Muktza. And all of a sudden, you know what? This egg is now thrown into a pile. You have a case of a Safek Shenis Arva. A Safek Shenis Arva. Would you say that that's Mutter? Would you say that that's Aser? So Tosa says the following. Well, look, that's a case of a Sveik Sveika. A Sveik Sveika. And therefore, what's the luck of a Sveik Sveika when it comes to a Dover Sheish L'Matirin? Maybe one would argue, even if something is a Sveik Sveika, maybe one should still argue that, you know what, Asha Tachlan Abisra, Tachlan Abahetta, why rely on any Kula of Hachra? You could, push comes to shove, be Machria, Yopaskin, that a Sveik Sveika is allowed, okay, but if you can avoid, avoid. Or maybe I could argue the following. Maybe that's true when it comes to a single Safek. The fact that a Sveik Sveika is Muteris, is that also Midini Hachra? A Kula. And do your best to avoid. Or maybe one could argue that's not true. Doesn't there come a point where you say that, you know what, that Tzad HaIsser is so far remote that the Torah says that I don't have to be concerned with that at all? Rav Meir is Chayish L'Miyuta, but Mefurish in Gemara. There's certain cases of Mamish, a Miyut, Sheino Matsui, that even Rav Meir says you don't have to be Chayish for such a Miyut. As an example, maybe I'll tell you the following. I have a single Safek, I understand. You have a series of Sfekos. In order to go ahead and have an Isser, you have to combine A, B, C. The Torah doesn't insist that you have to combine A, B, and C. And therefore, who says that Sveik Sveika is Midini Hachra as a Kula? Maybe one could argue, Sveik Sveika is Muteres. And therefore, even if something is a Davar Sheish Lo Matirin, nonetheless, a Sveik Sveika still is considered to be allowed. That's a huge issue. Now, Tosus quotes, Arabeinu Tam, that cannot be the meaning of the Braisa, that it's a Sveika Shanis Arva, because a Sveika Shanis Arva is a Sveik Sveika, and if something is a Sveik Sveika is Muteres, that is not Midini Hachra, and that would be allowed even in a Davar sheish lamatirin. And that's against the Mordechai quotes, ooh, Rabbeinu Simcha, that maintains that's not true at all. Wow. The Mordechai in Avodah Zarah, right? Tough Mem Aleph. If something is a Davar sheish lamatirin, avoid reliance on a kula bito, a kula of safek lakula, and a kula of sfeik sveika. Wow. 2 days in Shulchan Aruch and Zimel Kuf Yud. Whether there is grounds to be machmer in a sfeik sveika when it comes to a davar sheish lamatirin. Are we being machria, push comes to shove, or no? This is not the exact cases, but you know, when we discuss the heter v'ochel nefesh, Tuchuya, Hutra, Adar Yatzem and Aklau. The fact that I could avoid Ochel Nefesh and Yantif, is there any reason to do so? If it's Mutter, the Ram, Tosus, the Ramban, it's Mutter. Why do you have to avoid? If it's only because Simchas Yantif is Doche, they're competing factors. Push comes to shove, yes, but Rashi Beitzach of Gimel. If it's Evshimi Bal Yom, of course avoid. The Gemara only discusses maybe Evshimi Yom when it comes to Machshiri Ochel Nefesh, Chavches. Because that already is attention, but maybe not Ochel Nefesh itself. The fact that we assume here in this world a Sveik Sveika is Muteres, is that something that one should avoid, or really is that not true at all? That's a very heavy machlokes. Rabbi Nutam, the Mordechai, the Rashba's Biran, Rabbi Nutam, that's the case when it comes to a Sveik Sveika and Dover Sheish Lamatirin. I'll tell you, maybe this is even a more basic machlokes. You know, the opening Mishnah Maseches Ksuvos, a Beis HaMelech, we have a case of a Besula Shenisis. We want this woman to get married the night before that there is a Yeshivas Beis. Why is that so important? Because you know what? Let's assume, for example, that it will indeed turn out that she was not at all a Besula. You know what? We want now the chassan to have the ample opportunity to go ahead and to air the issue. What exactly happened? And therefore, the chassan will take place the night before the Ma'amad of Beis Din in order to address this problem, that she was not Dei Besul at the time of the Nisun. That Beis, Ksuvos Daf Tes, what exactly is the case? If this is a typical marriage, right? You're dealing with an older girl, older meaning more than three, no? And you're dealing with, let's assume, a chassan who is a Yisrael. In order to assume that she should be a Surah Labal, isn't that a combination of factors? No? After all, you know what? It's true, not a Basil. But when did that happen? Tafta or lo tafta? Did that happen before Erisin or after Erisin? If it's after Erisin, okay, and Eishas Eishas Insa. Before Erisin, absolutely not. And even if it happens after Erisin, but how did it happen? Was she a willing participant? Was this Baratzon? Or was this Bonus? In order to assume that she's a Surah Al Habal, you have to combine two factors in a typical case of a Chassan, who's a Yisrael. No? Number one is that she has to be older. It has to be something which is tachtov in the sense that you can be made that it happened after Erisin. And the other is that she was a willing participant. It was Baratzon. In other words, any possibility she's a Surah Labal is a Sveik Sveika. Maybe it was before Erisin, maybe it was Ba'onis. I admit, if somehow the Erisin took place when she was a young baby, it's only a single suffix. Onis Ratzon. It definitely happened tachta. If this is an Aishas Kohen, you know what? So how it happened, Onis Ratzon is irrelevant. There's only one suffix. Tachta vein tachta. It's true. There are cases where there's only one suffix. But in a typical case, there are multiple sveikas. Multiple sveikas. Good? So I ask you a very, very simple question. The fact that we have, this halacha, the Sulanisis, get married the night before a Ma'amad Beis Din, okay. What case were the Chachamim concerned about that they made such a takana? The takana is that the next morning we'll be able to engage in birur. In birur, what exactly is the case? A sfeik sveika or a suffik? Suffik would mean she was married very, very young when she was literally an infant, or an Eishes Kohen. Sveik Sveika would mean a typical case of marriage. A typical case of marriage. So Rashi writes the following. What was driving the Chachamim, this whole Mishnah, Ksuvos Daf Beis, is a typical marriage. A typical marriage. Well, a typical marriage. And Tosas disagrees and says, that's absolutely not true. In a typical marriage, that's a Sveik Sveika. What was driving the Chachamim in this halacha, this takana, Basilini says, was the unusual cases of Pachos Migimel or an Eishes Kohen. Okay. Yeah, but it applies to all women. All women. Oh, what's the answer? A low plug. Rabbi Kveger points out, no, the Chiddush Menach Beis, that's an unusual low plug. We usually think of an low plug that, you know what, the takana satisfies 90% of the world. An extra 10 is a low plug. Here, very, very unusual, no? The takana was instituted based on a real miut. And a low plug means that, whoa, the vast majority is nigger achar hamiut. Rabbi Kveger points out, that's pretty unusual. To say what motivated the Chachamim was a really unusual case. Maybe she got married when she was 2. Or maybe it's okay, she's just going. And now everyone gets married at this time because of a low plug of. Low plug usually flies in the opposite direction. That's Poshub Shabbat. That's why Rashi did not understand that way. The Takana must be because of the norm. Yeah, but the norm is a Sveik Sveika. No? So you know what Rashi Shita is? No, the Rashba writes explicitly. The Rishba writes explicitly. Good, something is a Sveik Sveika. But Tzarech Levarir. Good, it's a Sveik Sveika. You're right. If there is a case of a Sveik Sveika, so push comes to shove, we're going to be Mati. But that doesn't mean you don't begin the process. It doesn't mean that you're exonerated from trying to resolve and avoid a Sveik. And where does Rashi write this? Just in a couple of words. Why Basilinises the night before? Because Shem Yavo Eidim. Eidim. You know what Eidim means? It means a case where requires Eidim. It means the Ba would not be Nema because it's a Sveik Sveika. You require Eidim. Wow. So Rashi writes, Ol Takana Drabana, in order to ensure Birur of resolving a Sveik Sveika. And that's what the Baal HaTos is subject to. If a Sveik Sveika is Muteres, there's a requirement of Birur. You have to be Mevarer the Sveik Sveika. Is that something which is so obviously true? That Birur is necessary? The Gon writes in Simen Kuf Yud, Sivkot Lamed Ches, that the Shita of the Baal HaTosus, the Shita of the Rosh, is that a Sveik Sveika does not require Birur. And Rashi Shita is absolutely not. Push comes to shove. Yes, but a Sveik Sveika is midinia hachra, and before you're going to be machria, why not be mevarer? And wow, a takana drabanan, insisting on birur, even though you're dealing with the case of a Sveik Sveika, that's something which is stunning. That's the Rashba chun daf nun gimel, where the Rashba writes, well, of course, a Sveik Sveika requires birur. Shulchan Aruch and Simen Kuf Yud. All of a sudden, after Shechita, you notice that, you know what? The wing of the bird is severed. It's broken. Does it pay now to go ahead and to do internal birur of the oaf to make sure that the lung or the essential organs of that oaf are intact? You know, there are multiple sveikos. Number one is, you know, maybe the organs are intact. And maybe what happened now is just superficial. Okay? I'll tell you another suffix. No? Even if you see that there's something that was significantly wrong with this oath, when are you noticing it? La'achar shchita. Who says that was true? Before shchita. You know, it's not so uncommon. You buy chicken today, you see some broken bones. Sometimes it's very important to know what the hashkacha is. No? Because after the shchita is done, you know, they defeather the bird. Sometimes that process can be very, very hard, very hard. And it's not uncommon that the course of what happens after shchita is going to break a bone. It's important kind of know. Sometimes they check the animals before, after. You have to know what the Messias indeed is. But they're going to find right now that there's a problem. Yeah, but who says it was in existence before the Shechita? So you know what? That's a case of a Sveik Sveika. Before Shechita, after Shechita. And is it an internal damage? Is Bira necessary? That's a very heavy machlokes. Those is the Rashba. Whether indeed that's true. That may or not be related to an issue of why it is that Sveik Sveika is allowed. Is a Sveik Sveika Midin Rov. Oh, the Tshuva's a Rashba. You know why Sveik Sveika is mutter? Because Sveik Sveika creates, maybe not identical to, but similar to the concept of Hochenach HaRov. Once you go ahead and start combining multiple possibilities, you know what? Chances are that it's problem-free. What is chances are? Chances are is Hochenach HaRov. What's not so simple is the Rashba writes when it comes to Rov, Eino Tzorech Levar, that's the Rashba in the Envy of Amos. But the Rashba writes a Sveik Sveika, Tzorech Levar. Chulindav Nun Gimel. Poshub Shab, the Rashba is assuming that Sveik Sveika and Rov are not necessarily identical. Even though the Rashba is the Baal HaMemra and the Tshuvas know that a Sveik Sveika is indeed Midin Rov, but Midin Rov does not necessarily mean identical. Similar to, but not necessarily identical. But that's a very heavy issue. Does a Sveik Sveika require any element of Birur? Any element of Birur? Mufurish Machlokas Rishonim. The Machlokas Rashi and Tosas Ksuvas Dav Beis. Now, what was the Takana of Besulaneses? I'll tell you what exactly is that Lamdas. Maybe exactly this point. Exactly this point. And that is the fact that a Sveik Sveika ultimately is going to carry the day. Is that Midini Hachra? Or does it mean that, what do you mean? The Chachamim never instituted any restriction. Mamakam Sveik Sveika, done. And therefore, the Shita Tosos, Ein Sarach Lavarir, Ein Sarach Lavarir. I would tell you, that should be very relevant for Beit Zadav Gimel. If you have something which is Davar Sheish Lamatirin, and the Svara in Safek of Davar Sheish Lamatirin, everyone agrees, not Bittul, but in Safek, is Ad Shetochlan Abisra Tochlan Abahetar, is that called Ad Shetochlan Abisra? The fact that indeed I have a Sveik Sveika. Maybe Rav Soloveitchik used to explain, is Sveik Sveika Midini Achra, or is the Sveik Sveika Monea the Leda Sasafik? It means that, you know what, Al Pidin, that is not considered to be, it doesn't pass the threshold of Safik. If something is a Sveik Sveika, the Torah says, you need not be concerned, not as a Kula, that you know what, that possibility is not something that one must focus on. In Pashup Shat, Eino Tzarech Levarir. In Pashup Shat, even a Davar Sheish Lamatirin. That indeed should be mutter. I'll tell you, we all know the principle, no? Of Safek Brachos Lahakel. No? Safek Brachos Lahakel. Oh, Brachos Chafalef. Many sukkahs. No? Let me ask you the following, not so simple. What's the halacha of a bracha? B'makom Sveik Sveika. What I say, reliance on the Sveik Sveika is a kula. And once it's a kula, you know what? Let me apply the principle of Safek Brachos Lahakel. Why risk? Why risk an unnecessary bracha? The answer is, what do you mean? That I have a Sveik Sveika protecting me. But if that is Midini Hachra, and you have a principle that a Safek Bracha is lakula, maybe one should not recite a bracha in a case of a Sveik Sveika. Or maybe one could argue, no, that's not true. A single suffix, that's true. Once something is considered to be a Sveik Sveika, and maybe if one argues that's beneath the radar, it's not Al Pidin considered to be a Leidas HaSafik, even in cases of bracha. Maybe one could argue that, you know what, a bracha should indeed be recited in cases of Sveik Sveika. That's a heavy, heavy issue. Not some mufurish in the matter. What's the lach of Safik Brachas lach? Makam Sveik Sveika. Mishnah Berurah weighs in on this in five places, and there's a steer in Mishnah Berurah. We discussed last year after Pesach. No, a Sveik Sveika in Sfiras Omer. Mishnah Berurah said twice in Taf Pei Tes. What happens if a person is uncertain whether he counted or whether he didn't count? Somehow he can't remember. you know what? The Mishnah Berurah writes that he can continue to count to the bracha. And the way the Mishnah Berurah explains it is midin sfeik sfeika, that one suffix is maybe he did count. And even if he didn't count, yeah, the sheet of the Balei HaTosos, that you missed one day, but you can still continue to count with the bracha. And therefore, as long as you have what the Mishnah Berurah calls a sfeik sfeika, that'll be sufficient. Mishnah Berurah in Taf Bei Tes writes, ooh, that's exactly the reason if you count during the day, you can continue to count the next night with the bracha. Remember last year we explained it differently? But the Mishnah Berurah writes, Truma Sadeshen, that's also based on a sfeik sfeika. Maybe the Sfira Bayom is a good Sfira, the Bahag, and even if you miss a day, maybe you can still continue to count. So therefore, continue with the bracha because you have the coverage. You have the coverage of a sfeik sfeika. That's an interesting chiddush. It's a chiddush to understand that case in Shulchan Aruch that way, but even for our purpose, that you recite the bracha on a sfeik sfeika because you know what? Don't apply to a sfeik sfeika that concept of suffik brachos. L'hakel. Wow, that's a pretty heavy issue. Mishnah Berurah writes in Simin Yud Ches when it comes to tzitzis, putting on a beged of dalet kamfos, ben hashmashos. Mishnah Berurah writes the following, ben hashmashos is suffik yom suffik laila. So maybe, of course, you're chayiv in tzitzis. Oh, Mishnah Berurah writes that, And don't forget, the sheet of the Balei HaTosos, that ksus yom balaila is chayiv in tzitzis, is chayiv, even if it is night. Yeah, but this is a ksus yom. So number one, it's a suffik yom, suffik laila. Oh, number two, the sheet of the Balei HaTosos against the Rambam, that a ksus yom balaila is chayiv. So make a bracha, ben hashmashos. Wow, mishbru, semin yirches. Make a bracha, ben hashmashos. Fascinating, Magen Avram. Magen Avram writes the following chiddush, that when it comes to tzitzis, the Torah doesn't say yom versus laila. The Torah says, urisamoso, zman riyah, you know? Imagine it's 10 minutes after Shkia, and I say, you see that person across the street, and you tell me, no, it's a Suffolk Lila, I don't see him, no? I'm going to tell you, you know what, it's true, it's a Suffolk Lila, but you do see him, no? It's still Zman Re'iyah. It's a Zman Re'iyah during Ben HaShemash, Magen Avram. One would make a bracha Ben HaShemashos because, Chiddush. Mishnah Berurah writes now with the regular Hagdaros of Sveik Sveika, to make a bracha on a Sveik Sveika. Mishnah Berurah writes in Hilchos Lulav, Tafresh Memches, you have a needle that pierces the Lulav, pierces the Esra, the case in Shulchan Aruch, pierces the Esra. Number one, the Mishnah Berurah writes, is maybe that Psul of Nekev has to be Mefulosh. It has to go in one side of the Esra and leave the other side of the Esra. And that didn't happen, it just pierced. Number two, the Mishnah Berurah writes, maybe the Psul of Nekev is only if it's Chaser. And here it's not Chaser. Mishnah Berurah writes, you have a sfeik sfeika, make a bracha on those dalet minim. Make a bracha on those dalet minim. Those are the four cases. Mishnah Berurah writes, make a bracha. The place where Mishnah Berurah writes is not true. Reish Tezvav is the following. You know, to make a bracha achron, you need a shear. A shear kazayis, okay? Let's assume you don't have a shear. No bracha achron. Oh, but let's assume that which you ate is a birya. It's a birya. It was a complete entity. Pachos mikazayis, but it's a complete entity. You know, the Torah says, don't eat a sheres, don't eat an ant. A kazayis b'shratzim. A kazayis of ants. You know how many ants you have to eat a kazayis? That's what the Torah means. You know what the answer is? No. If it's a birya, davar shalem, you know what? That you're going to be chayiv midaraisa, even if it's pachos mikashir, because the birya itself is considered to be a davar chashuv. Oh, so in the realm of machalos asuros, if something is a birya, you don't require shir kazayis. Tosfos raises the suffix bracha tzamaches. Is that true when it comes to bracha achron? But even though you normally need a shir, but if something is a birya, so in such a case, you know what? You don't need a shir. So Tosfos quotes the Rishalmi, where the Rishalmi writes, yes, which true in machalos asuros is true in brachos, and therefore if you eat something that's a single entity, a single grape, even though it's pachos mikasher, you have to make a bracha achron. And Tosfos says, but maybe the Bavli disagrees, because there's no mention in Bavli of birya when it comes to bracha achrona. That's a very heavy suffix, no? That's why the Machaber writes, don't eat just one small entity, no? Because if you do that, you're putting yourself in such a situation of a suffix bracha achrona. According to Yerushalmi, you have to make a bracha achrona. According to Bavli, Tosa says, the safek. So therefore, don't do that, don't do that. You're eating grapes? Have grapes. No, grapes. Don't just have a single one where you're putting yourself in such a situation. Mechabrites in general, whenever there's such a safek into the bracha achrona, don't put yourself in that predicament. Okay. Mishabur writes the following, Reish Tesvav. What happens if you have a birya safek azayis? A birya safek azayis. It's not tiny. Hefty, no? Safek kazayis, but definitely a birya. You know what the Mishnah Berurah writes? Safek brachas lahakam. You have to think about that, no? That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. Even though it's a sveik sveika, don't make a bracha achrona on a sveik sveika. It's an interesting, it's not so consistent with other piskei din. There is a difference, but you have to think about it, no? All other four cases is a safek mitzvah, and here it's a safek bracha. The safek is only a safek bracha. Here, the Mishnah Berurah discusses a safek brach and sveik sveika. Don't go ahead and do so against other piskei din in the Mishnah Berurah. Room for thought. No, we discussed this last year. But I will tell you, that's pretty relevant in terms of our issue, that when something is indeed a sveik sveika, do we really argue that the safek is chai v'kayim? It's real? Or do you argue, you know what? You didn't meet the threshold. If you don't meet the threshold, something is so reduced, so far removed, the halacha doesn't view that as a safek. Maybe an afkamina comes to bracha, or an afkamina of tzorach levarer, or an afkamina when it comes to davar sheish lamatirin, the theme of our tosos. Do I assume achu tochlenu be'isser? Is that really called tochlenu be'isser? Where you have multiple tzedadin to be able indeed to rely on. One of the things I want you to work on carefully is the Rashba in our sugya, where the Rashba writes, I would not call this a sveik sveik. I don't know whether this is a beitza shenolda. And now, that egg in question, nisarva, it was thrown into the pile. So it's true, there are multiple factors. What is the status of that egg, and what is the location of that egg? Multiple factors. But you know what the Rashba writes? Maybe that's not called a sveik sveik at all. That's not called a sveik sveik. Why not? Because they're different types of suffix entirely. One is a suffix as to its status. One is a suffix as to its location. You know what I would call that? A suffix echa begufo, suffix echa betaruvos, and those sveikos don't combine. And therefore, those are two different sveikos. We discussed this a little bit, a gzera the gzera, as opposed to a trade rabbana. You have two sveikos that happen to surface, but they don't blend. There's no synthesis between these two sveikos. Why not? Why not exactly? So I'll tell you something very, very powerful. You know, the Shach, like unbelievable. No, the brilliant kuntras sveikos of the Shach, right? In Kuf Yud, the Shach has so many details of sveik sveika. The Shach begins with the following case. You know, why is it that there's no tziruf of a sefek echad begufo, sefek echad b'mkom? Why is it that you can't combine those two sefek? Why is that true? So I'll tell you the following. Take a look at Rabbeinu Peretz. The Tosus Rabbeinu Peretz on Ardav. The Tosus Rabbeinu Peretz writes the following. In order to combine sefekos, it has to be, the words Rabbeinu Peretz uses is chad gavna. It has to be the same type of sefek. Otherwise, they don't mix. In order to argue that bazeh, the hishlim ezeh, you have to have comparable sveikos. And if they're not the same type of suffix, one is the gufo, one is echid b'taruvos, therefore you can't combine them. Wow, that's Rabbeinu Peretz. And that is against what the Ra'a writes, the name of the Rihazakein. That's how this is the Ramakomos, the Torah Sabayis, the Berak Abayis. Wow. Where the Ra writes the fal. You know why this is not called a sveik sveik in our Gemara? It's not because they don't mix. It's because there's a lapse. You know what? I walk into the coop, and I see there's a single egg sitting there. A single egg that's sitting there. I don't know whether it was laid today, Shabbos Yantav, that's a Beis HaShanolda, whether it was laid yesterday. Okay. You know what? I leave, I re-enter. whoa, that egg now is part of a pile. It's bitaruvos. You know why those two sfeikos don't combine? Because Kfar Nesra, that's the Ra'ah, Kfar Nesra. Because you have Suffolk A, and then you have Suffolk B. Suffolk A and Suffolk B were not Chal B'Vasachas. And therefore, that's not called a Sfeik Sfeika. Suffolk A was already resolved. You have a Suffolk, whether this is the Beitza Shenoda, how in the world do you pass it? Oh, Beitza Nav Gimel, it's Asura. All of a sudden now, that egg, which is Asura, became intermingled. The Suffolk is not Chosev in air. The Suffolk that's already resolved is considered to be Vadai and U. And that's why you can't have any Tziruf between a Suffolk Echad Begufo, Suffolk Echad Beteruvos, not because conceptually the different types of Sveikos, but rather because temporally, in terms of their timing, they're Bazeh Charzeh and not Bavasachas. And that's like the Shach's beginning, no? Of Os Aleph. What's the halacha of a Suffolk Echad Beteruvos that's Chal Bavasachas? That he assumes you know all this, everything, not like, whoa. It's Chabav Asachas. There are different types of Sfeikos. But the latest HaSafik was, like, for example, that's what they're all writes, in the case in Ksuvis. You know, all of a sudden, there's a Tanas Basulim. The Safik of Tachtav and Eno Tachtav, and the Safik of Onis and Ratzam is Chal simultaneously. There's no lapse in time between the two Sfeikos. That's what a Sfeik Sfeika requires. And by essence, a Suffolk Echa Begufo, Suffolk Echa Betaruvos, that really is not true. What happens if all of a sudden you see there's a Beitz of Betaruvos? No problem. Okay, good. You know what? All of a sudden, what? All of a sudden, you notice the hen is a treifa. The latest a Suffolk that the hen is a treifa is when it's already Betaruvos. Well, that's a case where you can have a Suffolk Echa Begufo, Suffolk Echa Betaruvos, which is Chal Bavasachas. And that, the Shach writes, is machlokas, the Beis Yosef, the dark emotion. But the dark emotion is machlokas, Beis Yosef is mekel. Wow, what is the lumdus in our sugya? That you can't compare these two sveikos of gufa v'teruvah. It's because of the nature of the suffix or because of the timing of the sveikos. It's amazing, like, how many diyunim are tucked away in simply the im nisarva kulon. But take a look at the Tosas, take a look at the Rashba, take a look at the the Shach and the Kuntras of Sveik Sveika. Now, in order to allow all these cases to possibly be assessed appropriately, but it's a very heavy issue when it comes to Bittel, Sveik Dron Lakula, Sveik Sveika. Are these Midine Hachra? Or does there come a point where I say that, you know what, that in such an instance, Lo gozer rabbanon, lo tikkun rabbanon, lo chayshu hachachamim. And therefore, maybe the nafkaminas are cases like bracha, or cases of esh levarer, and therefore the diyum of our Tosos and Rabbeinu Simcha the Mordechai, whether he's fake is mutar aser when it comes to the case of a dover sheish lamatir.